Hello, and welcome to this edition of Total Health with Dr. Cage, the podcast that explores all aspects of health, wellness, and human consciousness. I'm Dr. Arlen Cage. I'm a naturopathic physician, as well as being trained in multiple systems of natural healing. You can read about my full background on the biography link on my website, which is www.drcagesays.org. That's DrCagesays. .org. During my recent podcast about thyroids and thyroid health, I mentioned the nutrient iodine. Well, iodine is recognized as an essential nutrient, meaning our bodies can't make it, at least not, we can't make it from other raw materials. The conventional medical system in the last 50 years seems to have developed a love-hate relationship with iodine, mostly focusing on the hate end of the spectrum. As a result, there's a great deal of propaganda aimed at keeping you from eating or consuming enough iodine as a supplement that you need to be optimally healthy. There is pretty much a universal acknowledgement that iodine is useful for your thyroid gland, but how many of you know it's actually needed by every organ and every cell in your body? Stay tuned to learn about this very critical nutrient and how it can help you achieve a higher state of health than you may have considered possible up to this point in your life. Before we get into the details of iodine, I just want to mention that the healthcare system is broken. According to a recent report by CNN and other news agencies, the waiting time to get in and see a doctor from the time you call and make an appointment can range from about a week to more than 2 or 3 months, if at some times, depending on where you live and the medical specialty that you're trying to get in to see. According to a recent report on the website Health Leaders, the nationwide average is now 26 days. The antidote for many practitioners has been to adopt a new model of healthcare referred to as concierge medicine, where their patients pay one fee for the whole year, and the practice limits the number of people who they will see. And there are pros and cons to this, but the pro for you, the patient, is when you sign up with a concierge practice, it guarantees you access in a very timely manner, usually 1 to 2 days at most, and calling up and wanting to be seen today usually means in the vast majority of cases, you can in fact be seen today. So I'm adopting a concierge model. The details are on my website. So please take a look and under the Hamilton Clinic tab, click the concierge link. Okay, let's talk about iodine. As I mentioned, this came up in my recent podcast as one of the absolutely essential nutrients we need for proper thyroid gland function, and not just in the thyroid itself, but it also needs to get into a number of other organs and cells as well. The examples I gave included the reproductive system and the immune system, for instance. Now, iodine has been around the medical systems more than 200 years now, since it was first discovered as a specific element in 1811 by a French chemist by the name of Bernard Courtois. Now, I am not a fluent speaker of French, so if you are, please forgive these French pronunciations that you're going to hear today. When we learned where iodine is found in nature, it's predominantly in seafoods and seaweed. We can actually state it's been part of medicine for thousands of years, as the cultures living near the ocean have learned they stayed healthier if they ate more of these ocean foods. Now, iodine is a mineral. It can be found on the periodic table of elements in the second column from the right, which constitutes a family known as the halogens. We'll talk more about some of the halogens later. Just as with all the other minerals which are on our list of essential nutrients, iodine cannot be made in the human body. They're only made inside stars through the process of nuclear fusion. And that means they end up from the stars into different planets like ours. One of the earliest iodine preparations to be prepared as a medicine is called Lugol's solution, named after yet another French chemist, Jean Lugol, who invented it in 1829. So it's almost 200 years old now. It's been a mainstay in the medical system ever since, and it can be purchased today, almost 200 years later. It's been used as a topical preparation for evaluating certain types of cancer, cancers of the cervix and esophagus, for instance, since normal tissues stain brown, but cancerous tissues do not. This is a test known as Schiller's test. Other forms of iodine are used topically as an antiseptic, both for home use as well as concentrated forms used in surgery as a preoperative disinfectant at the surgical site. We'll talk more about Lugol's and other forms of iodine a little later in this podcast. Where I'm going to go next is to do some of the major ways iodine is used in our body. First is thyroid hormone production. Iodine forms a part of the structure of thyroid hormones. So when you see the name of a particular hormone written in shorthand as T3 or T4, for example, that number represents how many iodine molecules are attached to the protein backbone of that hormone. This is why your thyroid gland is first in line among all your other organs to be able to absorb and use iodine. If the thyroid gland doesn't have enough, none of the other organs can properly function. Now, just to be clear, the term improper function means illness. Iodine deficiency leads to many illnesses. Two forms of iodine are needed by the body, used in different amounts by different tissues. Iodine, which is a neutral molecule, neutral in terms of electrical charge, and it's called the I2 molecule, and iodide, which is a negatively charged ion, and we usually give that as potassium iodide. When you take an iodine supplement, the best ones will contain both forms in a 2-to-3 ratio of iodine to iodide. So the first thing I want to talk about regarding how iodine is used in our bodies is it is used by the thyroid gland to make thyroid hormones, which regulate our metabolism. If you want to, please listen to my previous podcast on thyroid function if you aren't quite familiar with your thyroid gland and its many crucial functions in our body. Now, less well known is that all our body cells and organs that absorb hormones, such as blood sugar control hormones, stress hormones, reproductive hormones, and so on, each of the organs must have iodine to make its hormone receptors function. What are hormone receptors? They are special gateways our cells build to let one thing, and usually only one thing, through the cell membrane into that cell. Now, each type of hormone needs a very specific receptor, kind of like a lock and key mechanism. Estrogen won't fit through a thyroid hormone receptor, for example. Iodine is used by our bodies to make hormone receptors. If we don't have enough iodine, our body may not be able to make enough hormone receptors to properly regulate itself. Now, this shows up as various patterns where the body behaves as if it wasn't able to listen to the hormones that are clearly in the blood, which we can see in various lab tests, but the body just doesn't seem to respond. This is exactly the pattern of thyroid hormone resistance we talked about in that earlier thyroid podcast. This is also one of the underlying root causes of other hormone resistance conditions as well. The most well-known of these is probably type 2 diabetes. This condition, in fact, is sometimes called insulin resistance. When our blood sugar naturally elevates after we eat a meal, that triggers our pancreas to release the hormone insulin, which tells the liver, muscles, and other organs to increase the rate at which they absorb blood sugar. Insulin resistance is part of type 2 diabetes. There are studies which have shown that adding iodine supplementation alone can completely reverse type 2 diabetes in approximately 15 to 20% of those suffering with that condition. Clearly, there's other factors involved in diabetes, but iodine is one of the missing links. Women's monthly hormone cycles, i.e. your menstrual cycle, can be out of balance, producing conditions such as PMS, painful cramping, and other related symptoms. Now, I have worked with many women over the years whose PMS and menstrual cramps disappeared once they started supplementing iodine. These symptoms resolve because the unbalanced hormones, which are the cause of the symptoms, are now able to be absorbed by the organs involved, and that produces proper feedback to the other organs to stop sending progesterone or estrogen, for example. That means those hormones, like the estrogens and progesterone, stop overshooting and undershooting and maintain their proper balance throughout the monthly cycle. Now, if you have these conditions, it's an important caution to start supplementing iodine only around the time of the end of a menstrual cycle where your estrogen and progesterone levels are at their minimum. If you start during the month, well, the hormones are already unbalanced, it can actually exacerbate your symptoms that first month. Right at the end of the menstrual cycle is the best time to start. Iodine has been found to be used in other ways that are still in the early stages of being researched. This includes in your body binding to various proteins and fats in the body, which produce complexes known as iodoproteins and iodolipids. And they appear to play a protective role, functioning similar to antioxidants, as well as playing a role in our immune system to defenses. So regardless of the organ or tissue or the named disease or illness you may or may not have, there are some patterns that we see with iodine deficiency. And when you have one or more of these patterns, looking at iodine levels is one of the best ways to start. So low body temperatures, you know, our temperature should be 98.6 plus or minus a small range. And if it's a lot lower than that, iodine deficiency is almost always part of the problem. Poor circulation, cold hands and feet with no other cause, cysts in any tissue or organ, nodules, enlargement of glands and tissues, fibrosities, which are like scar tissues without having had a wound there, pain in organs and tissues, overactive or underactivity of any organ, and many types of cancers will almost always involve iodine deficiency. In addition to those patterns, the ones that show up a lot usually have named diseases like goiter, hypothyroidism, hyperthyroidism, Graves' disease, Hashimoto's disease, fibrocystic breasts and breast cancer, ovarian cysts and ovarian cancer, polycystic ovarian syndrome, uterine fibroid, uterine cancer. On the male side, we have benign prostatic hypertrophy and prostate cancer, type 2 diabetes, some forms of high blood pressure. Any condition where absorption of hormones is apparently impaired will almost always involve an iodine deficiency. That's, like I mentioned, women's hormones, a phenomenon called Wilson's temperature syndrome, where your body temperature is low. You have all the symptoms of hypothyroidism, but your blood tests look normal. Chronic fatigue syndrome is another. So where can you get iodine in food? You get them seaweeds and seafood or any foods that happen to be grown in mineral-rich soils that are majored to have high doses of iodine, which means probably only along the oceans. Anywhere else, we need to be supplementing, which is why a lot of farmers over the years learned that once a year they'd go down to the coast, they'd load up a wagon load or two of seaweed, bring it back, and chop it up and plow it into their fields. Most foods are, in fact, iodine deficient. You absolutely, positively cannot rely on getting enough iodine just from even healthy organic foods because it's almost never being grown in soils that have enough iodine. The next subject always comes up is how much iodine should we be taking. So let me talk about the ridiculous daily allowances. Oops, I'm sorry. I mean, the required daily allowances set by the government. The RDA value is 150 micrograms, only 15% of 1 milligram. The research, and I've got lots of this research for anybody who's interested, says the best maintenance dosage ranges between 10 or 12 up to 15 milligrams. And real therapeutic dosages, if you are horribly deficient and are having some of these more serious conditions, will be anywhere from 50 to 200 milligrams per day for up to a year to rebuild your body stores and help restore those organs to normal function. If that sounds like a lot, and we'll talk about that dosage a little bit more, the medical literature is full of reports of how iodine was used in doses of 1 gram, which is 1,000 milligrams, up to 3 grams per day with little to no side effects. I would probably go up to about 1 gram a day because most of these conditions have other things going on. And when we address all of that, which we do in the holistic world of naturopathic medicine, I've never needed to go above 1,000 milligrams a day. Your body needs two forms, iodine, which is the neutral I2 molecule, and iodide, which is a negatively charged molecule in a 2-to-3 ratio. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the original form of iodine supplementation was a liquid formation called Lugol's. Lugol's solution is still available. It's very powerful. It does, in fact, let you fine-tune dosages with a greater level of fidelity than any of the other forms. Lugol's, unfortunately, causes stomach upset in about 20% of the people who use it orally. And so there's modern solutions where Lugol's has been put into a time-release tablet, which seems to alleviate the vast majority of those stomach upset issues. It's also available in capsules as a powder. And again, the dosage and the 2-to-3 ratio of iodine and iodide are the key to look for. So the maintenance dose in these most of these forms is 12.5 milligrams. There's some detailed scientific reason about how the iodine testing I'll talk about later was validated, which why we ended up with the curious number of 12.5 milligrams as a dose. It has to do with the fact that the best test results come from using a 50 milligram dose when we test your body's iodine saturation. So when you tell your conventional medical doctor, conventionally endocrinologist, that you're correcting your thyroid conditions, be ready when you tell them that kind of dosage, 12.5 milligrams, they're going to tell you that's very dangerous. It could destroy your thyroid gland, and it might even kill you. All of which is completely fear-mongering, uneducated nonsense, as I'm about to demonstrate. First, let me tell you why medical doctors think that way. Remember that high-dose iodine had been the standard treatment of choice for all thyroid conditions and many other types of disorders starting in the early to mid 1800s, so almost 200 years. 1 to 3 grams were used per day. And this type of protocol was highly successful, especially for hypothyroidism, hyperthyroidism, and many other conditions. They may not have known why it was working, but they knew it worked, and it had been tested empirically for dozens of decades. Now, back about 50 years ago, maybe a little more, after all that time of using high-dose iodine, a highly suspect study, in quotes, was published and established what came to be known as the Wolff-Chaikoff effect. What this study did was to give high doses of a radioactive form of iodine to patients, and then they took periodic images, I believe it was x-rays, to see where the iodine went in the body. At first, the iodine concentrated in the thyroid gland, which is something we could expect, as the thyroid gland is the largest user of iodine in our bodies. Then, as the protocol and study continued for weeks into months, the thyroid gland seemed to stop taking up the radioactive iodine, which began spreading throughout the rest of the body. The scientists, performing the study concluded that this was proof that too much iodine could cause the thyroid gland to shut down, and therefore high-dose iodine protocols were unsafe, and we should stop treating thyroid conditions with iodine. Now, very coincidentally, I'm sure, the same month that the Wolff-Chaikoff study was published, pharmaceutical companies announced the release of a new category of drugs. That's right, synthetic thyroid hormones, which had never been on the market before. This became the new standard of care and treatment for thyroid conditions almost overnight. Know this, that this study had probably taken 1 to 2 years to plan and conduct, then get published. The creation of the synthetically made thyroid hormone drugs had taken at least as long, if not longer, years. It seems pretty obvious in retrospect that the two processes were very carefully planned. Vilify a non-patentable form of treatment with a flawed study and at the same time announce a new wonder drug that supposedly did the same thing. Only synthetic thyroid hormones don't do the same thing. Iodine helps heal and repair the thyroid and the entire endocrine system. Synthetic thyroid hormones simply replace the thyroid in an attempt to require the patient to be on a prescription medication the rest of their lives. Now remember, they told you that, or they will tell you that 12.5 milligrams is dangerous and might kill you. And it were true that anything higher than the ridiculous daily allowance of 150 micrograms was dangerous, then as I mentioned back in my thyroid podcast, everyone in Japan should be dead because Japanese people consume, on average, 13.8 milligrams per day in their food. And in fact, mainland Japanese women have a very low incidence and prevalence of fibrocystic breast disease, breast cancer, ovarian cysts, and all the major conditions that are becoming epidemic here in the U.S. And on top of all of that, Japan today is officially the country with the longest average lifespan in the world at 84.9 years. What the Wolff-Chaikoff study didn't emphasize and fully accurately report, however, is that the people in that study who were supposedly being overdosed on iodine until their thyroid shut down, all reported they felt better than they had in their entire lives. And the blood tests of actual thyroid hormones were at normal levels, meaning the thyroid glands had not shut down, but were actually functioning completely normally. The whole Wolff-Chaikoff affair was a very unethical and unscientific smear job against a safe natural supplement with more than 100 years track record of safe and effective use. Now that's the fullness of the story behind the Wolff-Chaikoff effect and why your conventionally trained medical doctor thinks that iodine is dangerous. They've been trained in medical schools largely funded by drug companies and simply taught that anything other than pharmaceutical drugs is dangerous and suspect no matter how much evidence there is to the contrary. That's why you need to be prepared if you decide to share with your medical doctor that you're taking high doses of iodine. All right, let's talk about testing for iodine. This is something I frequently get asked. Can't we just run a simple blood test to see if I have enough iodine? Sounds reasonable. Unfortunately, the answer is no. And the reason is that iodine in the bloodstream doesn't last long. When you ingest iodine, it will either be absorbed fairly quickly into any organ that needs it. If the problems I'm going to talk about later of toxins blocking your body's ability to absorb iodine, or that iodine in the blood will be quickly excreted, again, fairly quickly. So either there's not much in the blood because it got absorbed into tissues, or it's high levels in the blood because it can't be absorbed into tissues, or it got excreted, and any one of those means it's pretty much a meaningless test. So the only way to accurately assess your body's iodine level is with a 24-hour iodine saturation test. This consists of collecting a urine sample as a baseline measurement, then taking a measured dose of iodine, followed by collecting all your urine for 24 hours. The levels of urine in the 24-hour collection give us a measure of how much of the iodine you took was retained in your body and how much was excreted. Ideally, if your body is fully saturated, you should excrete 90% of that test dose. The less of that dose you excrete, the greater your body's need for iodine. And this test method is the only accurate way of measuring your body's need for iodine. Let's talk about bromides. Bromides are in that chemical family I mentioned earlier, the halogens, and bromides are used heavily in commercial baked goods, many commercial beverages, as by adding brominated vegetable oil. And what bromides do is they go into the body, they have a similar electrical pattern as iodine, they will bind iodine receptors and then block them. So if your body is contaminated with bromides, what happens is you can't absorb iodine. And the details of that can show up on the iodine test that I mentioned earlier. And if you decide to get that test run, you can contact my office through the contact information on this podcast site or my website, and we can find out answers to these questions. So these are the basics of iodine and its role in the body. And as always, please email me with questions. I do get emails from time to time from some of those who listen. So A, thank you for listening and engaging. I welcome your questions. And if I get enough questions about the same subject, it will probably become a podcast in the future. Quick reminder, as I wrap up today, I'd like to mention my program called Get Healthy, Get Serious. This is a combination of educational information, little educational seminars combined with one-on-one consultations so we can work out your health. I can do this over Zoom for about 80 to 90% of the things I might do if I were in my office. Obviously, I can't draw your blood personally if you're on a Zoom call, you know, hundreds or thousands of miles away, but evaluating your health and giving you advice is all something I can do. So take a look at my website, click the Get Healthy, Get Serious link, and let me know if you'd like to get started on that. Now, that's it for today. If you would like to engage further, drcagesays@gmail.com is the website, or I'm sorry, the email address. drcagesays.org is the website. And feel free to ask questions on all manner of subjects. So thank you for listening. That's it. Till next time. This is Dr. Cage signing off.